every test with flying colors. Jesus also gave his disciples a seemingly impossible mission. When our resurrected Lord gave the Great Commission to his disciples, he said, "Wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." There are some translations, and of course it is correct what they say, is that that meaning, wherever you go, actually could be translated as when you are going or as you are going. I think for many years, preachers would say, hey, this is the reason that we need to raise up men to be missionaries. And certainly we do need men in the mission field. But what he's basically saying there is, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, make disciples, teach them, baptize them, and then teach them again. That must have seemed an impossible task for men of that day. You know, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have computers. They didn't have all of the things that we have, which we're able to communicate with people all around the world. But even when Paul wrote the letter to the Christians in Colossae, he said the gospel in all the world was constantly bearing fruit and increasing. Now, we need to understand that that doesn't necessarily mean that every person heard the gospel, but it means that the gospel was taken into all realms of the world at that time. And certainly if they could do that by walking or by going on ships and doing the things that they needed to do and traveling, then we can do that as well. We can carry the gospel. We can do it through prison ministries. We can do it through World Bible Schools. We can do it in a variety of ways. Our responsibility is to take this commission that Jesus has given to us and share the gospel with all. We have exciting and wonderful opportunities to share Christ's gospel with people around the world. And we need to take advantage of that. We also know that God replaced the impossible with the possible. It was impossible for the sacrifices under the Mosaic law to save anyone. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they continually offer year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. Notice, for it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins. Then he goes on to say, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all. That can also be translated as one time for all times, having obtained eternal redemption. So, that which it was impossible under the old covenant was made possible by Jesus Christ's blood. The blood under the goats and the calves was not able to cleanse the conscience of man. It did a ceremonial cleansing, but not the conscience of man. But it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that our hearts and our lives and our consciences are cleansed. We're made whole. We're saved through his blood. You know, it's amazing to me when you think of, as Alan was pointing out in the prayer, you think of the promises of God. With just a small amount of faith, God will do the impossible in our lives. You know, on one occasion there was a man who brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus' disciples to be healed. That spirit made him mute, slammed him to the ground, made him foam at the mouth, made him grind his teeth, and stiffened him out like a corpse. And Jesus rebuked his own disciples because they were unable to cast out the evil spirit. It was not because they didn't have the power. He had given them the power. They didn't have the faith. And the Father said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And then Jesus responded in this way. It should be a very meaningful passage to all of us. He said, "If you can," almost as if he was rebuking the man for not believing. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." I wonder if you would make that statement with me today. I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, again, a number of years ago, I guess I'm telling my age, and most of you are going to remember it, so you were there too. But I think it was Kate Smith many years ago that really made the song "The Impossible Dream" very popular. It came back in the mantle of La Mancha. But here are the words to that, and I think they're very meaningful. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. Isn't that the goal for all of us as Christians? Aren't you thankful that God made the impossible possible in your life? If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity God has given you while we stand and while we sing.